More often than not, we preach on the gospel for the Sunday Mass. However, I actually want to concentrate on the second reading tonight because it comes from the last book in the Bible, what is known as the Book of Revelation. And the word revelation comes from the Greek word apocalypse. So in most Catholic translations, it is the Book of the Apocalypse or the Book of the Revelation to John. It is one of the most misunderstood books in the entire scriptures, and partly that is because of certain energetic charismatic preachers, particularly tele-preachers, who have taken the symbolism that is embedded in this complex book, and it's really been distorted over the years. Consequently, the word apocalypse is associated with disaster and doom. That's not a very healthy understanding of what is an integral part, though the end part, of the New Testament. So I just thought I'd like to clear up a little bit there to help people understand this very complex book. It was written, most scholars would say, at the time that the Emperor Domitian was ruling the Roman Empire. He was a particularly brutal man, and the time that we're talking about was up to probably about 82 to 95 AD. In that period, this book was most probably written. So many people have thought that John the Evangelist was the author of the book. And that's been a common understanding, though that could not be confirmed. What could be confirmed is that the church that John had been leading, John the Evangelist, the author of the fourth gospel that he had been leading, was under great persecution. The Romans and the Roman Empire had really spilt the blood of the first martyrs of the church. 25 years before, Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Romans, and even to this day, Jerusalem has never been fully occupied by the Jews. So it was a catastrophic time for the audience of this vision to John, this revelation to John. So I would just say firstly that the authors of the book, and it's obvious that there are several, they would have been close members of the community of John the Evangelist, the author of the fourth gospel, though he wasn't the sole responsible for the sole penmanship of that gospel either. He had a little group of faithful, and there's no doubt about that because it gets different persuasions and inflections in there that add a different emphasis. What distracts people with the book of Revelation is the symbolism that is used. And it was a tool, a literary tool that was used probably from about 180, 200 years BC to about 200 years AD, in that period. And most of what is in the book of Revelation, the symbolism was borrowed, not stolen, but borrowed from the old books of the Old Testament, particularly Jeremiah, and more particularly the book of Daniel, where they use a lot of symbolic language and a lot of imagery. Now, when we talk about the revelation, it is God revealing himself to John. So whenever any of us have some kind of revelation, in a dream, for example, we have a very vivid dream and we try to explain it, it doesn't make a lot of sense to the immediate audience. And you really have to sit with it and work out, well, what's the connection? Where would that symbolism and that come from? So in the book of Revelation, there is a lot of language in there that involves strategic numbers. A lot of numbers that are very specific, particularly the number 4, the number 7, the number 12, the number 6, and the number 1,000. They are recurring, and they each have their individual meaning, and I don't propose to give you a lecture on the symbolism in the book of Revelation. What I'm trying to say to you is this is not a book to scare people. This is not a book of fear. of the end of time. It is actually the words and the vision of great hope to a church that was being persecuted. The line in the second reading that always stands out for me is the last line. Now I am making the whole of creation new. And if nothing else tonight, remember that. In this time, in that time, and in the time to come, I am making the whole of creation new. So we take the vision that John and his co-writers have penned here, and we try to work out, how do I fit into that creation? The first thing I'd say is, when we look at that sentence, I am making the whole of creation new. I am. That takes us immediately back to when Moses went up the mountain and he conversed with God, and then God said to him, you go back and tell the people of Israel this, and eventually the Ten Commandments came forth. But Moses said, who do I tell them that God is? What name do I give them that has told me to go and do this? And God replies, and many of you will remember, he said, you tell the people of Israel, I am who I am. I am sent you. I am making the whole of creation new. The I am, by the time that these words were penned, puts a spotlight directly on Jesus Christ himself. The revelation is Jesus himself. God, I am, became incarnate, became a human to lead us into a new creation. That's the entire meaning behind the book of Revelation. So we ask ourselves, well, how am I part of this new creation? Because I live in the now, I reflect and remember on the past, and I bring the past into the present, I certainly do, and we do that sacramentally every Eucharist. Do this in memory of me. And we bring what was past into the reality of the here and now. It doesn't stay a memory, that's not what it's about. It is the new creation has begun, and we actually share in that sacramentally at every Eucharist. It's ongoing. And most people don't get that, I don't think. So how do I share in this making of the whole of the new creation? I'd say physically, look around you. Look at the world around you. Look at this city, Canberra. Where is God in this? Look at the world. Where is God in this? Do I recognise him or do I walk past him? Where do I see God in our nation? We're 1 week away from elections. Where is God in all of this creation? I have to clear my eyes and my ears to notice God again. I sometimes move too fast and too noisily and I don't recognise him. So let's use this time to identify, where am I with God in this new creation? Secondly, I would say spiritually. How do I recognise God in my spiritual life? How do I recognise him in myself and in the community that I worship with? And the third way that I challenge us at this time to try to recognise God, the God of the new creation, is in what I would call our humanity. And that humanity is based on relationship. Where is God in my relationship? My relationship with my neighbour? Love one another, we're told in the gospel. Where is God in my relationship with those that are nearest and dearest to me? Is God near or is he distant? Do I recognise him in this creation at all? We have to make our vision sharper. The book of Revelation is about a vision. It's about gaining sight and gaining insight. And at this time, we use these words, these visionary words, these symbolic words, these colourful words, and we use them to immerse ourselves and understand that we are part of God's creation. I am an instrument in his work of building this new creation. What scares most of us and what stops most of us from participating fully, we hold back, is because we don't think that we're either worthy or capable, or we just don't recognise the opportunity, or we're scared. Revelation is about hope. It is about removing fear, as you often hear me say. And the proof of that is in the text that says, his name is God with them. The only other time that that's used in Scripture is when we're told that the Annunciation, and you will call him Emmanuel. We hear it at Christmas time. You will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We are not alone. We are instruments in God's creation. We must clear up our vision so we can identify what it is we have to do, both physically, both spiritually, and also with our humanity.